Diabetes insights, breakthroughs, and innovators. The EASD TV podcast from the annual meeting of the European Association for the Study of Diabetes.
Hello, you're watching EASD TV. My name's Vivian Parry, and in the studio with me, we have two combatants. And I say two combatants because they are on the opposite sides to each other in a debate. And I'll tell you the title of the debate, which is, will next generation medications make surgery for obesity obsolete? So I have with me Louis Aron from the Cornell Medical College in New York City and Francesco Rubino from King's College Hospital in London. And the answer to that is, Francesco?
No.
Not quite.
Right. I think we need to interrogate them a bit more. Okay, so you are the surgeon, Francesco. Why do you say no?
Well, if history tells you anything, there isn't a situation where a chronic disease has been treated only with one or another form of therapy, or is treated even when effective medications are available. The only exception is a gastrectomy for peptic ulcer. But the difference is that at that time, the discovery of Helicobacter pylori provided the cause of the problem and a cure that was just as easy as taking medications and antibiotics for 1 week. I don't think we are in that situation now.
Okay, but he does have a vested interest in this because he is a surgeon. So, Louis, what would be your point here?
Well, I think that the analogy he's given is a good one. There are a lot of treatments that are only treatable surgically initially, and eventually, thanks to the work of individuals like Dr. Rubino himself, we eventually figure out how to treat it medically. And that is where we are in the treatment of obesity. We now have medical therapies that are on the verge of duplicating surgical results. And the public has shown an enormous interest in these medications to the point where they're sold out in the United States. Our patients have to go on an Easter egg hunt to find the medication. So I think that maybe surgery won't completely disappear, but medical treatment worldwide is going to expand dramatically.
And that's the point, really, isn't it? You know, patients vote with their feet. I mean, you know, why have an invasive surgery or surgical procedure which has, a permanent effect if you could just take medicines? Well, why would they come to you still?
Well, for good reasons. The reason is, again,
I think he's faltering here.
If you are able to cure a disease with a medication, then obviously I would say, why would you even consider surgery? I wouldn't personally do so. But if you're dealing with something that is not as simple as a lifestyle choice, but it's a real illness, there are some patients with that illness that don't do well or well enough with medications and will require surgery. This is true for cardiovascular disease. You use medication, statins, anti-blood pressure medications, etc. But you use surgery when people actually have serious coronary artery disease. And I think the same applies to obesity.
Well, it's a pretty reasonable point, Louis.
I agree. So I think
he's agreeing with you.
I think this debate is going to have more points of agreement than disagreement.
So we hate it when they agree. We hate it when they agree.
Sorry about that. But I think the analogy he just used, cardiovascular disease. It used to be that the only way to revascularize someone's heart was through an open coronary bypass. Then stents came along. So what happened to cardiac surgery? Did it disappear? No. They're still plenty.
They're still very rich.
they're doing great. Maybe there are not as many, there's not as much expansion of cardiac surgery. Maybe the non-invasive or minimally invasive people are getting bigger and bigger. I think something similar is going to happen in this case. And the idea, so patients, that they want to be treated and they don't want to take medicine forever, but then you say, oh, we have an option, it's surgery. They're like, oh, I don't want to have this not be reversible. well, what do you want us to do? If it's permanent, then it's not necessarily reversible. You got to pick one or the other.
And that's a tough choice for people. But there is a point, actually, and maybe this is just a moment in time rather than something that will persist. But I know in the UK, at least, that actually bariatric surgery is a lot cheaper than the therapies.
Well, if you look at the lifetime horizon, obviously taking medications for a lifetime is more expensive than having a surgical operation, which also can be done today with excellent safety and cost effectiveness. I can venture to say that bariatric metabolic surgery is one, if not the most cost-effective intervention we have in surgery today, short of transplant perhaps. So yes, the cost is a good argument, but I think more important, to back to what Lou was saying, is that there are some patients, surgery is never going to be a mass treatment, a treatment for everybody, but it will become, like cardiovascular surgery, a treatment for those patients where it's more difficult to intervene with drugs, and patients whose life can be saved by an operation. Surgery is quintessentially a life-saving intervention. And unfortunately, I think historically, bariatric surgery is not being used in the people who need it the most. And this new revolution of medications will actually facilitate that meaningful use of surgery, in my opinion. And that's, in that sense, you're going to see more of it rather than less.
Because we are working here in a very stigmatized area of obesity.
Yes.
Very stigmatized. And actually having surgery is much more obvious, if you see what I mean, than therapies.
One of the ways in which medication may benefit surgery is that so many more people are coming to treatment. And the evidence is so clear that losing weight is having health benefits. So now we're able to do the kinds of treatments that our colleagues in cardiovascular disease, for example, have demanded before they consider treatment. And that is to do a randomized trial, prove that people live longer. We now have those trials, and it will bring more and more people into treatment. So the total number of people who are going to be treated for obesity is going to expand massively. That could increase the number of surgeries that occur in people who fail those procedures, those medical treatments.
So you'll still have a job?
I think I would look at this from a patient perspective. I think for people with obesity, the future looks brighter, because there's going to be an adequate solution for everybody. Obesity is a spectrum. It's not a single specific type of lifestyle choice. It's a spectrum of conditions that includes also disease at some point. And for some of these people, the drug alone will not do the job. And for some of them, either surgery alone will not do the job. So you're going to see this field transforming and becoming more similar to cardiovascular medicine or to cancer medicine, where you have adjuvant and new adjuvant therapies, and surgery still has a role.
Okay, I think I've got a killer question, which is that initially with these new therapies, all their benefits, and we've seen the benefits are extraordinary, you know, chronic kidney disease, cardiovascular, all sorts of things, were attributed to weight loss. Now we're thinking that actually the therapies are doing something, perhaps inflammation, perhaps something we don't know about yet, beyond. And actually, you're in a, he's on thin ice there, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Yes.
And there is evidence that there are effects of drugs in the incretin GLP-1 class that have an effect over and above what we expect from weight loss alone. But his point that we see this as combination therapy. So it used to be the people would say, they would bring up somebody who had surgery but then regained their weight. That no longer happens in the United States, because we would give them medication as soon as they start to regain. We're able to stamp that out. So we're getting very durable results and unprecedented results. The area where I think surgery is going to have to adapt is, you know, perhaps there are less invasive procedures that they need to think about. So medication plus a less invasive procedure, you might be able to get even better results with fewer side effects.
Okay, closing argument from you.
So I would like to close on this weight-independent mechanism of interventions. I, 20-plus years ago, I performed some experiments in animals that showed how surgery could have weight-independent effects on diabetes. I got a lot of tomatoes back then, but I'm so glad to see that now these weight-independent effects are also attributed to drugs that happens to do nothing else than the same thing that surgery does, changing the physiology of the gastrointestinal tract. I think the gut is actually the sweet spot for the treatment of diabetes and obesity, and I think both drugs and surgery are just pointing us in that direction.
Yes, I agree.
So I think this argument, debate, discussion is going to run and run. And if you want to see it on demand, you can. And I think you'll probably discover it's well worth watching. So may your arguments continue, and I'll hold the coats. We'll be welcoming you back to EASD TV very shortly.
Thank you for joining us on the podcast of the European Association for the Study of Diabetes. We hope you enjoyed today's insights. If you did, go ahead and hit subscribe, and you'll always stay up to date with the latest in diabetes research and discoveries. And if you'd like to dive deeper, you can find plenty more information at EASD.org.